Welcome to the podcast, hosted by the Journal of Healthcare Contracting. And now, our host, Scott Adams.
Here we are at episode 3 in the Back to Wellness podcast series, sponsored by McKesson Medical. I'm your host, Scott Adams, from the Journal of Healthcare Contracting headquarters in lovely Lawrenceville, Georgia today. I'm sheltering in place. Just kidding, I'm not reopening. So I'm excited about talking about kind of where we are, what's going on out there. And today we're going to focus on physician office labs, the POL, and in the new norm. We have an expert on this from McKesson Medical, actually. His name is Derek Young. Derek's Vice President of Advanced Product Sales for McKesson. And he's going to give us some good insight, some good perspective as to what labs in the physician office should be expecting as we start to go back to work and start seeing patients again. But also we're going to talk a little bit futuristic as we talk through towards the end of this podcast around how are we going to deal with both COVID if there's a reoccurrence, as well as flu season, as well as kids getting back to school. And as we all know, it's where they start spreading germs and everything else. So we are excited to have this conversation. And again, this is the Back to Wellness podcast series sponsored by McKesson Medical. Derek, man, thank you so much for being on the call with me today and on this podcast. There's so much going on out in the world, in the industry, but when you really hone down into what we do every day and taking care of caregivers that are taking care of America, it's great to talk to someone like yourself and kind of get a feel for, you know, as things start to reopen in the practice and the surgery center setting, what folks need to be thinking about. So thank you for being here.
Yeah, absolutely, Scott. I'm excited to be here. I appreciate the opportunity to speak with you today.
Yeah, I've got a handful of questions for you. And obviously, in this segment of the podcast, it's around, you know, point of care testing and lab. And it's obviously top of mind with probably everybody in the world for the first time in their lives. We've been living it, you know, our whole careers. But how's COVID-19 changed the way we think about point of care testing today?
Yeah, you know, Scott's a great question. The point of care testing is so vital to the American healthcare system. You know, at McKesson, we have, you know, always believed that having the highest quality testing as close to the patient as possible was, you know, the most important thing. I mean, most important thing is to ensure that our providers can accurately diagnose, treat, and, you know, keep their patients locally, take care of them locally. And so I don't honestly think this COVID-19 situation has really changed the way that we feel about point of care testing. I think it's really underscored it. It's really verified kind of the approach that we've taken for years around it. And I think it's really driven home the point nationwide. You know, as you said, we have seen such a tremendous strain put on the American healthcare system by, you know, given such a short supply of tests that, you know, over the last few months around COVID, what tests have been available, we've seen, you know, relatively small number of facilities across the country in very small numbers of geographies have access to these types of tests. And it's been overwhelming. It's quite frankly, one of the things that has contributed to the country shutting down. So I think point of care testing, just from a national consciousness standpoint, you know, we're becoming acutely aware that having the best testing possible as close to the patients as possible is, you know, good for America and is the right thing for the American healthcare system.
Yeah, without a doubt. I think the faster you can get results turned around and let people know either they have it, they had it, or they don't have it, is obviously better for everyone. And that's just changing so dramatically and so quickly. You know, what are you seeing out there with the constantly changing market, with the dynamics in that constantly changing market with COVID-19 testing?
Yeah, we could talk about this subject for probably 2 hours.
No doubt.
You know, you made a comment earlier, and I think that's probably been the biggest change is just the national, you know, awareness of lab testing. You know, to your point, we've lived it our entire careers, but I think the country has become very aware that, you know, healthcare and laboratory testing is really the backbone of the American healthcare system. When we think healthcare, we typically think doctors and nurses, and rightly so. They're, you know, extremely vital in the system, but virtually no decisions are able to be made in the healthcare setting without the proper diagnostics. So I think one of the biggest shifts there has just been you know, the consciousness around lab testing, how important it is. And so what I think we're seeing from a provider standpoint is, you know, many providers who have chosen to not have laboratories or to have limited laboratories are really reevaluating that strategy. They're understanding that they need to have more capabilities to better serve their patients and quite frankly, better serve their communities. Those that have laboratories are, you know, reevaluating what offerings they do have. And we're seeing a tremendous amount of interest in from our customers that do have laboratories in expanding their capabilities and making sure that they can bring in not just COVID testing, but, you know, a broader type of testing that are going to be able to, you know, again, help them better diagnose, treat, and, you know, keep their patients locally rather than have to, you know, have to send those out or have to force them to, you know, to wait days to get results back in. So a lot of consciousness around lab and a lot of people reevaluating their strategies on, you know, how they can better leverage labs for their practices or surgery centers or even their hospitals.
Yeah, as a publisher of medical journals and magazines for the last 26 years here, I'm going to make this statement from kind of our side, not from the supplier side, but I got in the industry right after CLIA, and I was selling microbiology products, and it was such a struggle to get, you know, practices to buy that stuff back then because they didn't want to have a lab in their office and be subject to some of the rules and regulations. But I think to your exact point that, man, with such a focus on this at the public level, not just the physician office level or the caregiver level, it will be interesting to watch over the next, you know, 12, 18, 24 months as practices start to bring some of this stuff back inside and want to be able to do it there. I also think, you know, from a patient standpoint, you don't want to have to go somewhere else to have to have, you know, blood drawn, that type of stuff. So I think the point of care testing market is just kind of very similar to the PPE market. Let's talk a little bit about physician office and surgery centers and what they need to be considering for lab testing as they reopen. And that might be two different answers. It might be one, but what are some of the things that you're hearing out there or seeing out there that you can tell the audience to be considering around lab testing when they reopen?
Yeah, you know, again, there's a heck of a lot to consider, but you know, two things kind of come to mind when you ask that question. One is availability, and I'd say the second is probably quality. You know, so from an availability standpoint, just because the manufacturers are producing more tests and more products and more instruments, which is great, by the way, and we're so proud to see, you know, how so many of our manufacturer partners have stepped up to, you know, develop these products and ramp up production. But at the end of the day, there's still going to continue to be quite a shortage, whether it's instruments and tests or whether it's supplies and PPE. So I think for, you know, any care setting that has a laboratory, they need to make sure that they've got clear line of sight of, you know, can they get access to the products they need to run the test that they want to run. Right. So even if you've got the instruments that you want to have, and even if you can get the test reagents on those instruments, you may not be able to get the swabs to get the sample from the patient into the test cartridge. Right. So yeah. I think just making sure that as you're evaluating solutions, whether you're looking at things that you already have in house or bringing something in, you need to have clear line of sight that you can get everything you need, collection devices, swabs, you know, protective equipment for your laboratories, et cetera, to be able to run that testing. So I think availability is definitely one of the key points of evaluation. And then I said quality. And, you know, Scott, we have just seen so many horror stories from across the globe over the last several weeks of, you know, how much of a negative impact using poor quality testing can have, or misusing tests, right? Using tests that were intended for one thing for another. Specifically, I'm thinking about, you know, all these horror stories about people trying to use antibody tests for, you know, diagnosing active infections and what have you. So much more harm, you know, than good can come from either using poor quality tests or using tests inappropriately. So I think, you know, again, if they're evaluating new solutions or if they're just looking at what they currently have in their lab, I think it's become, you know, we've all become, you know, hypersensitive to, are we using the best that we can get? Are we ensuring that we're putting out you know, the highest quality results, because if we're not, we're doing ourselves and our patients a disservice, and we could possibly even be causing harm, right? So I think making sure that you're you know, evaluating the quality of what you're looking at or what you've already got in house, and ensuring that you're producing the best results possible is, you know, an extremely important step in assessing what you need to get back to the business.
Yeah, kind of two things there that jump out at me is one, I don't know if the importance of distribution has ever been more relevant in our industry as it has been in the last 3 to 4 months and will be going forward. And just as the publisher of a couple of the industry magazines, I would really encourage the listeners to this at the caregiver level to lean on your distribution partner heavily right now. And when you're looking at what you need to be bringing in, the quality, and they vet these guys incredible. So I just want to say publicly thank you, Derek, to you and your organization for everything you guys do on a daily basis and have been doing, and the amount of work that you guys have put in the last month or couple of months, just trying to make sure product's getting to places it needs to be in a timely fashion. I'm going to ask you a question that is a little bit different than COVID, but I think it's going to be top of mind here as we hopefully get back to school and we get into what would be normal flu season. How should physician office be preparing for upcoming flu season from a testing perspective specifically?
Oh yeah, that's a great question. And you're right. It's easy to put the blinders on to kind of just be thinking about COVID right now, but you know, it's a sobering fact to think that flu season is just a few months out. And know that flu season isn't really just flu season, it's sickness season, right? So you know, yes, potentially COVID will spike back up. We're definitely going to be dealing with flu, but we're going to be dealing with exacerbation of a lot of different illnesses and health issues, which is going to drive demands around testing. So, you know, I think first and foremost, you know, the first thing you got to do is have a plan, especially around respiratory illnesses. You know, we're hearing from practices that they're not going to do any respiratory illness testing. We're hearing from some that they're not going to do any influenza-like illness testing. And then we're hearing from many that are going to open back up and treat patients as they always have. So, you know, that's really going to drive what you're going to do from a laboratory or testing standpoint, determining what kind of patients you're going to see in the fall, right? So if you're not going to do flu testing, or if you're not going to do influenza-like testing, then, you know, we're seeing practices and labs of, you know, in all care settings evaluate other types of testing to bring in-house, potentially to, you know, offset that lack of offering or that lack of revenue generated around, you know, their respiratory business. But assuming that, you know, most offices are going to open up as usual and they're going to test the majority of patients as they have in the past, which is what we're hearing more often than not. I think, you know, the most important thing to start with is you got to act now. And I don't mean to sound like a sales guy, but the fact of the matter is that, you know, all of these manufacturers, even though they are ramping up production and there will be more tests available, there will be more supplies available, there will be more reagents available come this fall, there is a pretty significant queue forming with basically every one of these systems right now. The demand is tremendous because people are starting to look to fall and they want to ramp up for it. And if there is a run on supply again, they want to be, you know, in a position, as good a position as possible, to secure those products. So if providers or surgery centers or whoever want to sit around and wait until October or November to see kind of what it's going to look like when the dust clears, I'm afraid they're going to find themselves at the back of a very long line. So now's the time to start evaluating solutions or looking at things that you have in-house and working to start securing inventory to ensure that you're prepared for the fall, that you've at least got a plan to acquire it before flu season hits. And then, you know, the other thing I think is, you know, again, we touched on it earlier, is, you know, evaluating the, you know, quality of what you have, but the breadth of offering. You know, they're going to have to consider multiple solutions more often than not, right? Normally we would just have one instrument running one test to do a certain thing. given the inventory challenges and the production challenges that we'll continue to face across the world, a lot of folks are going to have to consider bringing in redundant systems, you know, two, maybe even three different, you know, a test kit, maybe two different types of analyzers to do similar work, because that's the only way they can ensure that they'll have the appropriate product to do the type of testing that they want to do. And then, you know, I think one of the other parts of having a plan too is they need to have a plan around their lab staff. You know, most folks think about what, you know, how would we operate if our, you know, some of our nurses got sick or they couldn't make it in, or we had a physician shortage, but there's fewer laboratorians by far than there are doctors and nurses. And, you know, if, you know, especially in maybe a smaller medium-sized clinic that may only have one, two, or, you know, three laboratorians in there, if you lose one or if you lose all of them, it could shut the entire lab down, which could tremendously, you know, impact your practice's ability to serve your patients. So I think, you know, in not just in looking at flu testing or respiratory testing solutions or COVID testing solutions, but, you know, considering things like lab automation or more automated processes or, you know, securing extra backup staff or what have you, I think they've got to have a plan to be prepared in the event of a med tech or laboratory staff shortage as well. So I think those are a few things that folks really need to keep in mind today as they prepare for the fall. And I think you're right. It's those who are looking to the fall are very smart. That's where most of our folks should be looking. Yes, we've got to get up and running in the short term, and we know it's so easy to put blinders on, you know, and just face this kind of overwhelming short-term problem, but it's going to be much worse if we don't start prepping for the fall now.
Yeah. As we close here, I would echo that. I've probably been on the phone, well, not probably, I know I have, with multiple diagnostic manufacturers over the last 3 or 4 months, because they're some of our biggest customers, and they're all saying the same thing. I mean, they're making as much as they can, as fast as they can, but I can't echo your statement there of, man, start planning now, don't wait. You gotta be prepared for, you know, flu season and everything else that comes along with it, and with us getting back to hopefully the new norm or business as usual at some point where we're all back together. Practices are going to definitely have to be prepared for some of this stuff. Derek, I can't thank you enough for spending a few minutes with us today, and I know the audience will get a lot out of it, and really appreciate you and your organization and everything you guys do for the caregivers across the country, man.
Yeah. Thank you, Scott. I appreciate the time. I'm available at any time, but I appreciate you as well. And, you know, for your efforts in getting the word out, helping to educate folks. And like you said, you know, helping to provide for our providers.
I just want to thank you again for taking the time and spending time with us on this podcast today about opening up your practice. And I want to wish you luck. I want to thank you personally for everything you're doing to take care of America and for the sacrifice you've made and how much you guys are the heroes. I also want to thank McKesson for sponsoring this and helping to get this content out to help you folks open your practices up. I think that honestly, no time in our country's history has medical distribution across the board been more important to securing the health of individuals out there. So I think they're heroes as well, and just really want to thank them. Good luck, and we'll talk to you soon.